Hello, pals o' mine. What's up? Plans for this Labor Day weekend? Fun? Relaxing? I am scrambling for backup plans because me and a few other hiking compadres had originally planned to go backpacking in the Sierras, but as you may have seen in the news, California has been inundated with fires, and the smoke is horrendous. To give you an idea of just how bad it is, in case you missed this in the news, the Rim Fire around Yosemite has traveled 150 miles north to Reno, and that smoke is so thick, flights had to be canceled in Reno. So imagine what it's like out here. I'm in the Sacramento area, and it's not too bad here. It's not the clearest of days, but it's not as bad as it is as you got into the Sierras. It's really bad. I start to burn. A friend who lives in Reno, she posted on Facebook yesterday that, well, here's another day of only 30 feet visibility of smoke. It's horrendous. And of course, worst of all, especially from an outdoor enthusiast, a nature lover, such as myself, it's just devastating, all the acreage in the forested areas that are being lost. Last night, only 20% contained still, because it is so challenging to get into where it is. You've probably seen some of the photos. It's just intense. You know, Labor Day weekend, the firefighters are not going to be taking any time off. And so I think we should all tip our collective hats to them, and when it's finally over, send them every good wish you possibly can. They don't get paid enough. I don't think they're recognized enough. And locally, we've got a firefighters chili cook-off out in the burbs here, which I plan on attending and definitely donating my time and money to help with their efforts locally, because obviously locals get called into these large fires as well. Oh, Iowa, I last read, are coming out to help with the Rim Fire as well. And I'm really, really praying they're able to save the sequoias, those ancient sacred trees. That would be a loss. Just, I know some people, if you're city folk and you don't get it, to you, they're just trees. Well, you know, you can live your life as a house cat. That's your choice. But that's living in a box. And for those of us who refuse to live in boxes, actually enjoy health, you go for a walk, just in your local city park. Stress falls off. You can breathe a little easier because you're actually breathing natural oxygen. Your bones get stronger because you're walking. And when you're outside the city limits, and all you can hear are birds and your own thoughts, it is the most healing energy experience you could ever have. And you need to really do that for yourself, seriously. So anyway, my thoughts to the firefighters, and we'll see what I end up doing this weekend. Fortunately, Labor Day weekends always have a plethora of events to choose from. There's lots of musical events for sure. There's downtown, I think it's Midtown, they have Chalk It Up, where locals do chalk art all around the edge of this park, and some are sponsored by businesses, some are just whoever wants to participate, and it's kind of fun to see how gifted some people are with chalk. It's just phenomenal, just blows me away. I couldn't even begin to do what they do. It's I'm an appreciative audience, I'll put it that way. So I heard this trivia question on the radio the other day that I wanted to share. It was so out of left field, but I guess that's what trivia is. Anyway, the question was, what do Paul Revere, Betsy Ross, and Daniel Boone have in common?
Do 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 do
That's right. All three are on Pez dispensers. The only actual people on Pez dispensers. So there you go. Now you can die happy knowing that you know that. So a friend of mine recently celebrated her 60th birthday, and for her birthday party, she asked everybody to bring vinyls so we could play records and dance our little hearts away. And what was really fun and flashback for me, and I think most of us that were in attendance, in her sunroom, she had 1960s posters with fluorescent paint. So when you turn the black lights on, you were having psychedelic dancing, and it was a lot of fun. So I had to go into storage to get some vinyls. And of course, when I go to storage, which isn't very often, I always have to look at, oh, it's in that box. What is that? And of course, you know, 2-3 hours pass. And so in one of the boxes, I have the letters that my grandparents, my mom's folks, wrote to each other while he was in the Navy, 1926 to 36. He joined up when he was 17, and they were neighbors. They'd know each other since grade school. And so they were corresponding, especially because she lived around the corner from his father, so she could keep him apprised of family events and stories, etc. And over the course of the 10 years, they fell in love, married, had kids. Anyway, her handwriting was just amazing. She had an artistic bent, beautiful pastel drawings, absolutely gorgeous. And so she created her own handwriting, perfect handwriting. They could have been done on a machine. I would have to draw two lines with rulers so I would have the parameters to stay in and for the lines to be straight. She could just do it freehand. It was just beautiful. And in one of the letters she wrote to him early on, she chastised him for his horrible handwriting and insisted that he improve it and with flourishes and make it fancy. And after complaining for a couple letters, he finally did it. And he really did have beautiful handwriting. And I've thought over the years that it would be so cool if I had a font of my grandmother's handwriting. And over the years, now you can Google how to create your own font, and there's many choices now to do that, but I haven't got around to it because that would be kind of time consuming and tedious, because I would imagine, and I'm just imagining because I haven't really looked at any of them, but you'd have to scan each letter, right? In each punctuation and all of that. I don't know. It just seemed like it would take time, but it would still be cool to have my grandmother's handwriting as a font. Someday I will do that. I will. So speaking of grandparents, there's so many people that don't want to be called grandma, you know, so they're called Opa and Nana, etc. So one of my hiking buddies is going to become a grandma for the first time. So she wants to be called Gigi. Okay, why not? So I'm sitting at a railroad crossing, waiting for the end of the train, looking around the neighborhood, the streets, the posts, and on one of the posts, I see an Edgar Allan Poe sticker. That was really out of left field. And so I'm staring at the sticker thinking, wondering, you know, where did it come from? How did that person come to have the sticker to begin with? And then I start thinking of my dad, because my dad always loved Edgar Allan Poe. He always loved dark stories, like dark songs, like Riders in the Storm. He loved that song. He likes dark restaurants, which is kind of funny because he's actually a very upbeat, outgoing, laughs easily guy, but I'm intrigued with the dark side, I guess. I always like the that one quote of Poe's, "I do not suffer from insanity. I enjoy every minute of it." Poe is one of those authors that's intriguing because he is American. He's not British. You always hear about the classical authors from abroad. And he was so dark, and because he was so melancholy and manic depressive, like Lewis Carroll, you know, how they came up with these ideas, like what are the events that led up to that? And, you know, some authors just write for the sake of writing, and they're just generally imaginative, but there are just certain authors that just have a mystique to them, and Poe is one of them. And so that's what my brain did for the seemingly endless time as I sat there waiting for the train to finally reach its end in its passing so I could finally cross the tracks. I think it was in seventh grade when I first heard of Dorothy Parker, speaking of authors. My teacher, I think it was Mr. Dodge, there was a girl in class and she just got glasses and she was really embarrassed and humiliated and she just hated them. And so Mr. Dodge told her that there was a famous quote that said, "Boys always make passes at girls that wear glasses." And of course, it was several years later when I discovered that the accurate quote was, "Boys never make passes at girls who wear glasses," by Dorothy Parker. And I started reading her in high school, and I just became a fan. Her barbed, sardonic wit and sharp observations, I just thought she was fabulous. So I have a writing friend who periodically posts on Facebook kind of like Dorothy Parker-ish observations. And I'll give you a few examples just at random. "I bet rule number one of being a midwife is remember it's not whack a mole. In case anyone was wondering, we will not send in ground troops is the U.S. version of I'll just put the tip in. Some mornings, I just don't feel like getting drunk and throwing garbage at passing cars. But who am I to question God's plan? Found half-eaten nachos on the bus. The barista didn't call me a little bitch when he handed me my coffee. And the homeless man outside says he wants to sex me all night long. Best birthday ever." I am seriously considering a compilation of all of her quotes and just giving them to her and say, please publish these. Put them in an ebook. Do something. Use them as a platform for marketing. So I hope that you find something witty and funny this weekend as you enjoy Labor Day. And if you have to work, I'm sorry. Big hug. Cheers to you. Clinking glasses virtually. And remember, do something different. Write only in cursive today.